Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Elizabeth Holtzman, the youngest woman ever elected to the U.S. Congress. She won national attention for her role on the House Judiciary Committee during Watergate and was subsequently elected District Attorney of Kings County, Brooklyn. She is the co-author with Cynthia Cooper of the new book, Cheating Justice, How Bush and Cheney Attacked the Rule of Law, Plotted to Avoid Prosecution, and What We Can Do About It. Welcome to Background Briefing, Elizabeth Holtzman.
Well, thanks for having me.
And I've been spoken to a couple of the people who were on the receiving end of Bush and Cheney's illegal torture, not to go into the illegal war itself, but to the great shame of torture, which has, of course, done terrible damage to the United States around the world. After all, we're trying to deal with a murderous thug, Assad, in Syria, and his excuse now is, well, you know, you can't accuse me of torturing my people, the Americans do it. So without getting into the litany of the damage done, Glenn Carr was a CIA officer who wrote a really interesting book called Interrogator. He was literally handed John Yoo's document as the so-called finding and sent off to do intense interrogation on the number three guy in Al-Qaeda who turned out to be a completely innocent man. I've also spoken to Ali Soufran, the FBI officer who blew the whistle on torture. So both these gentlemen have stepped forward. And frankly, in Glenn Carr's case, it's he hasn't got a lot of traction and a lot of respect for what he's done. How do you explain that?
Well, I'm sorry not to have been familiar with his book, but there seems to be some kind of view in the United States now that we need to have a kind of impunity for our top elected officials, even though they engaged in what I believe is at least a prima facie example of potential criminal activity. I'm a former prosecutor. I'm a lawyer. I actually taught law. I took a very close look at the statutes because I believe that there needs to be accountability when crimes, serious crimes, are committed. And there are at least three criminal statutes that could apply to the conduct of Bush and Cheney. And yet, there's no discussion about what should be done. And I find that very, very troubling, because you can't, in a democracy, have the rule of law when the rule of law applies only to the weak and the unimportant and those who can't get away with it. That's not going to work. And I think it's really important for us as a nation to say we've got to have one standard of justice and one rule of law and take a look at what has been pushed in our face by Bush and Cheney. I mean, it's not as though they say we never committed the acts of torture. They acknowledge that they authorized waterboarding and approved it and were involved in it. And they acknowledge that President Bush publicly acknowledged 43 times that he authorized illegal wiretapping 43 times. So Can we allow these actions to take place and just say, we don't care, we're just going to let them pass? I don't think we can do that. I don't exactly understand why there has been so little discussion and debate about accountability for President Bush, but that needs to happen.
Well, I also spoke recently, Elizabeth Holtzman, with Tim Weiner, the New York Times investigative reporter, who's written a history of the FBI and that famous meeting that took place on Attorney General Ashcroft's bed at the hospital, where the White House counsel and the chief of staff, Andrew Card, came over and tried to get the almost comatose Attorney General to sign off on the torture regime or on the secret wiretapping regime. We don't quite know what they were expecting him to extend. But one of the things that Tim Weiner points out in this book that's just out now is that George W. Bush, President Bush, lied to Mueller, the FBI director. He said it's absolutely ironclad, no question about it, an automatic 5-year sentence, from my understanding. It seems like with a little digging, and I'm just reciting what I've heard recently on my radio show, it seems as though there's an awful lot out there that needs to be addressed.
Right. Well, I don't even know that you need to do any digging. I'm just talking about what we call in the law a prima facie case on the surface of it. There are three statutes that apply. to what we know in public right now about what President Bush and Vice President Cheney did. Number one, there's an anti-torture statute. That says that you cannot engage in torture, and it's a U.S. felony. It's a federal crime. And they themselves have both admitted that they participated in waterboarding. Waterboarding has been held to be torture under U.S. law and under foreign law, and that needs to be looked at. They can't just say, well, it's not torture. And then secondly, we know about the wiretapping. It's not secret. The president has admitted that 43 times he authorized wiretapping without a court order. Under the law at that point, it was a felony to engage in wiretapping without a court order. So why isn't someone looking at that? We don't have to do any digging. These are facts that are not disputed. And that's what's so astonishing to me. And with regard to the war, there's another federal statute, makes it a felony, to defraud the United States. In this case, it would be the U.S. Congress. This is a statute that was used in the prosecution of Watergate, the top Watergate conspirators, namely Haldeman. This is a statute that was used to prosecute the top conspirators in the Iran-Contra scandal. And it is a statute that cries out to be looked at in connection with Bush and Cheney and how they conspired to deceive and defraud the United States, namely the U.S. Congress, with regard to going to war. These are things that we don't have to do any digging about. These are things that right on the face of it. We need to be having a special prosecutor appointed, a fair, respectable, professional person who can take a look at the statutes and take a look at the conduct and determine whether we need to go forward. At the same time, we also need to have a truth commission to get out some of the facts that could never come out necessarily in a prosecution, but that could tell the country why we went to war in Iraq, who was responsible for various kinds of things. I mean, they're doing this in Great Britain right now. They did this in Holland. Why can't we do it in the United States?
Again, I'm speaking with Elizabeth Holtzman, the youngest woman ever elected to the U.S. Congress. She is the co-author with Cynthia Cooper of a new book, Cheating Justice, How Bush and Cheney Attacked the Rule of Law, Plotted to Avoid Prosecution, and What We Can Do About It. Well, in many ways, it's true there is a British inquiry underway, and Bush and Cheney have dodged that bullet. Apparently, Dick Cheney just canceled a speaking engagement in Toronto, because he was afraid of security. I'm not quite sure what he means by that. But the idea that we've never had a truth, as opposed to truth and reconciliation, in any of these matters,
right.
And equally so with Wall Street, we never had a perp walk there. Those things are very, very instructive, aren't they, for the public? I mean, you were very much a part of the Watergate hearing. That was what President Obama calls a teachable moment, wasn't it?
Right, and the reason that the Watergate time was such an important teachable moment, if we go back in history, Richard Nixon in 1972 won an election in one of the biggest landslides in the history of the United States. Then, in less than 2 years, the American people, majority of whom had voted for Richard Nixon, were prepared to say, based on the evidence that had been produced in a bipartisan way, both by the Senate, the House of Representatives, and by the special prosecutor, were prepared to say that he should be removed from office. Now, what happened? What happened was the American people said that more important than any one person, more important than any president, more important than any party, more important than any ideology, was the rule of law and the Constitution of the United States. And that's what they said then because they understood the abuses of power that were involved. That was a teachable moment. We've had no teaching as a result of the abuses of power of Bush and Cheney. We've had no teachable moment. Instead, what we've been taught as a nation is close your eyes, forget about it, and if the high and mighty and the powerful engage in what looks like criminal conduct, we just don't say a word, we forget about it, we pass on. That's a terrible message to send, and it's a shameful message to send.
Well, without belaboring it, there was an interregnum where the President of the United States was almost impeached over a trivial personal sexual dalliance.
Right, and it was not an impeachable offense because he didn't abuse the powers of his office. People still don't understand that. But the fact of the matter is that I believe Bush and Cheney, there should have been impeachment proceedings brought against Bush and Cheney, but no proceedings were brought. Still, we do have criminal law, and we do have accountability, and we do have a Congress that could authorize, or if the President of the United States could set up a truth commission. But none of that has happened. And the odd kind of the odd thing is that in foreign countries, particularly in Spain, there are efforts now to hold the U.S. government accountable for torture. Why should we have to rely on a foreign country to do the work that we should be doing? And aside from that, another point is that we're out of compliance with the Geneva Conventions. We signed that under Dwight Eisenhower, ratified those conventions, and yet those conventions require us to bring to justice people who were involved in the torture, inhuman, cruel, and degrading treatment of detainees. Well, Bush has acknowledged that he was involved in that, and yet nothing's happening to him. So here we are. We ask other countries to obey international law. We ask other countries to pay attention to human rights. But we are violating our own obligations under the Geneva Conventions right now. We are also violating our obligations because under the Bush administration, the War Crimes Act, which carries out the Geneva Conventions, was totally shredded. So we don't have a law that can be that's a useful and strong law to prosecute violators. So, I mean, we're out of compliance. What does it say about the United States?
Well, I think probably the reason it didn't happen is that the President Obama decided he didn't want to deal with the past. He wanted to deal with the future. And I'm not sure that his attorney general, he's been getting some criticism lately for not having even prosecuted anybody over the massive fraud that took place that led to the 2008 near-death experience for the global economy. And as we speak, speculators are driving up the price of gasoline unimpeded. There's a lot that makes one wonder why the Justice Department is not defending the American citizen and consumer more zealously, and why the president decided to sort of turn the other cheek, if you will. Given that, what can be done? If the president and the attorney general aren't going to step up, who is? I mean, it sounds like you are.
Well, I'm stepping up for the moment, but I can't carry all the cudgels myself. If the American people have to stand up. I mean, that's what happened in Watergate. It wasn't the attorney general that stood up and tried to get Watergate investigated. It was the American people who demanded that Congress act after they saw President Nixon take the law into his own hands by firing the special prosecutor and saying, you can't investigate me. So if the American people say, we want action, we do not want a double standard of law, we do not want a dual system of justice, then people will pay attention. I mean, I think just recently in the State of the Union address, President Obama announced that he was forming a brand new unit to prosecute what I call the banksters, the people responsible for getting the country and the economy in this terrible economic situation that we're in. That happened because of pressure from Occupy Wall Street, which raised the country's consciousness about this issue. So if people understood that there was still accountability that could be had, both under the criminal laws and in terms of fact-finding and truth-finding, they could demand it of the president, they could demand it of Congress.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Elizabeth Holtzman.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Elizabeth Holtzman, the youngest woman ever elected to the U.S. Congress. She won national attention for a role on the House Judiciary Committee during Watergate and was subsequently elected as the District Attorney of Kings County, that's Brooklyn. She's the co-author with Cynthia Cooper of the new book, Cheating Justice, How Bush and Cheney Attacked the Rule of Law, Plotted to Avoid Prosecution, and What We Can Do About It. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Chris Scheid. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.